I got some chocolates for you, too.
Yeah, I want to see the stars.
From the shaman. All right.
Let's do it.
Red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather.
I just have to say it before going on stage.
Red leather, yellow leather. Yeah, you just work out the fucking... Here we go.
Listen free to Hot Boxing, exclusively available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. If you love the show, share it with a friend, and don't forget to leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Evan Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we got another Mike in the house.
Yeah, a new kind of nigga, too. He just came on the scene.
Michael Blackson, welcome to the Hot Box, my
hey,
brother.
What the fuck, us? How are you, my nigga?
Ah!
I'm good, man. It's good to see you, Tyson. I'm doing great, man. Life is good.
So tell me, man, what was the first movie you did? Was that the first movie with the fucking with Mike Epps?
Mike Epps, that was my first break,
really?
Man. Next Friday, yes. Shout out to Ice Cube for giving me my break, man. It was next Friday. One scene, that scene made me so fucking popular, man. You know, gave me a lot of... I started to live your life. I get a lot of bitches, man.
You got some pussy?
Yeah, I got a lot of pussy off that, off my one scene.
That's incredible, right?
What, the pussy or the one scene?
No, the pussy.
Yeah, the pussy is incredible. That was my big break, man. The thing about it, I was raised in Philly, so when I did that movie, I was in Philly. I didn't tell nobody I was in a movie, you know, so I just took, like, different bitches to watch the movie, and every time they told me the screen, they went crazy, and then I fucked them that night.
Really? Yes. Fuck.
Yeah, man. The power of television and movies, man, just, it made me much cuter.
Nah, it just makes you more acceptable. I believe I know you now. It's an illusion.
It is.
It's an illusion.
That is true. Damn, I never thought about that.
We most human beings live our lives off of an illusion of ourselves. You know.
Damn, that's why I have two bitches in my room right now. Illusion.
You're amazing. You have two women in your room waiting for you. You should have brought them down here for they could see you talk and
they would have made them even more acceptable.
Yeah,
hanging with you.
Exactly. Just hang out, brother.
Yo, Eric, go grab them bitches. Bring them back here.
Don't ever be afraid to be yourself. You never lie to them. You never lie to women. I had to learn that in life. Don't ever lie to them. If you're a player, tell them the truth.
Yes, oh, definitely. That's what I do.
You'd be surprised what the truth would get you.
That's so true.
Everybody's afraid of the truth, but you'd be surprised what the truth would get you.
You know, I think women been lied to so much that once they find a person they feel is honest, they just pretty much...
I don't know. We don't know what happened to every woman in the world. That's our first mistake, to think that we know their problems. Mm. We don't know nothing about them.
Mike, will you hand me that lighter?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
What you guys smoking?
We
smoking some weed.
You have crack? Why don't we just go all out, motherfucker?
No,
we don't do that shit.
We have an urge to improve ourselves here.
That's right.
To just improve ourselves.
But that was my break. Next Friday, after that, I did a lot of road work. You know, after I did the movie, all of a sudden everybody wants to book me. So I was going on the road making money. I went from making like $500 a show to like $2,500. Things got really good.
When you got $2,500 a show, that really was, you felt like fuck.
Man, I was saving money, and then I'm like, it was great. And then after that, I got a lot of independent work. I did some work with Master P. We did a couple of movies together. All Master P movies. This is how he shoot his movies. We fucking feel like he just, this is how Master P shoot his movie. Action.
Just like that?
Cut. Hello? Hold up. Motherfucker, you fucking up my film. Okay. Call me back. Action.
Really?
No, it just felt that way. It wasn't with the phone. You know, but Pete just let me do whatever the fuck I wanted to do. So it was a lot of fun. I did.
Where you from, Michael?
Originally from Ghana and Liberia. I'm, you know, half and half. Came to the States during when you was the man. I came to the States in the late 80s.
Really?
In fact, you know what's so crazy? In 1989, around 89 or so, I was living in Newark, New Jersey. You was a 22-year-old boxer. I was freshman in high school, Barringer High in Newark. You came to the school.
I did?
You did, man.
Fuck.
You was knocking niggas out back then like crazy.
Shit.
You still knocking them out?
What did you say to the kids?
Yeah, what the fuck did I say at the
Yeah, God, man. You was like, you came to our school, man. It was like starstruck, man. It was crazy. I remember that. Like, it was like,
that must have been
30 years ago.
Larry Hazard, your president, your principal.
At Barringer? You knew about Barringer?
Larry Hazard.
I don't remember who the principal
was. Probably asked me to come there.
Larry Hazard.
For real? Did you go to Barringer? Why was that?
I went there probably to talk to some kids.
How you remember the name of the principal?
Because he was a commissioner in the boxing too. So,
maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Side job was principal at Barringer High School.
Barringer High in Newark, New Jersey. Yeah. That was my first high school. Then I came to Philly and did 11th and 12th grade, and then just made Philly a home.
What was Philly like?
Besides the freaking shooting they just had the other day, Philly was cool.
Yeah, they're pretty wild. I remember shooting Philly. My first really inclination with Philly is when a member of those cops dropped all that shit on the people and blew up those strange people.
Yeah, yeah, that
that Muslim sect, the people.
Was it that they wanted the lady, right?
Yeah, they really
they
nasty.
Blew up the whole. They, yeah, I the think they burned block. It down or something.
Yeah, they killed everybody. I believe.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
The Move, that's called Move, right?
Yes.
Move.
Dang, that was like,
that's my first experience in Philadelphia.
90?
In the news. Yeah, the government good. The governor was good, or the mayor was good at the time, and he dropped all that explosive on the building and killed everybody. Yeah,
burned down.
Kills everybody!
No, Philly, let me tell you how, when we moved to Philly back in the day, you know, Newark, Jersey was very rough for us. You know, everything was expensive in Jersey. You know, and by the time we got to Philly was so much cheaper.
Philly's cheaper than New Jersey?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Man, my mother, we had a 3-bedroom row house, $350 a month, 1989.
Philly's some poor niggas then, huh?
1989.
Philly had some money.
No, I'm saying Philly, but I mean, that same place right now probably costs $1,000. Yeah. It was like in the hood.
Fucking
But
Philly.
I was just happy to have my own fucking room. I
really? Had
Tired sleeping on the couch in Jersey because we could only afford like one bedroom. It was like my mom, it was me, and like my sisters. But Philly kind of changed my life. If it wasn't for Philly, I would not be here right now talking to you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Because Philly definitely made me a comic. So I'm all Philly guy. I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a Sixers, I'm a Flyer. Even if they had a fuck.
Is that your wife from Philly?
I'm not married. But I was married. I married to a lady from Philly. I have a son who's 21 through my wife. Who married a very, I married at a very young age, like 23, and got divorced 2 years later. And then I dated after that. And right now, I've been single for a year and a half, and I don't want a relationship anymore. I just want to be single.
No, can't take it no more?
I can't take it anymore. I'm better off just, you know, just having...
How come? What is it that you want that a relationship won't give you?
Other bitches.
Yeah, tell me about that. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel a certain...
No, it's not that. It's like, you know what it is? I mean, even when I had a good girl, I might just have a problem. I might have a dick control problem. You know? And, I mean, I'm not young. I'm like, you know, I'm up there, but still, I just cannot just settle down. I'm happy
you
alone.
You just don't want to, right? You can't. You just
I
don't
could.
Want to.
I just don't want to.
I made an excuse for him. Why did I make an excuse that I'm just not ready to settle down? I always made excuses for it.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I like the peace of mind of being my, you know, doing what I want to do. What I have to answer to anybody, you know, relationship. You have to think about their feelings too. It's too much thinking. I don't want to think about somebody else's.
But that's what we all do. We don't want to answer to nobody. Then we get married. You know, I don't want to answer nobody. Then we get married. When do we get ready to answer to somebody? Do we take that step and say, well, let me try to answer to this person? You know,
I don't want to answer. I'll only answer to God. That's it.
Then why we married a wife? Because she's pretty much God's status in our relationship, our wife. You know, we don't worship her or anything, but we know our main objective is to make sure she's cool, and the kids cool.
Yeah. I have kids, but I mean, I love my children, you know. For some reason, it's like if a woman were in a state, the longest relationship I've had is women I didn't have kids with. For some reason, once we had a kid, and it was like it was over.
When did you feel, why do you feel it's over?
Kids are fucking cock blockers. These little niggas are in the way most of the time.
Really?
Yeah, kids are in the fucking way.
Why don't you get a hotel room, get somebody to babysit?
That is true, but I'm like, you know, I don't know what it is. Something about, like, even my wife, when we had our son, it was over. Even I had twin boys, you know, with this one chick, and we broke up, and then she found out she was pregnant. I'm trying to make it work. When the kids came, I love my kids to death, but it was the combination of the children and her all together
Listen. this is not something you can prepare for. You know what I mean? There's no way you prepare for this stuff. So that's why we make excuses why it never worked out. It didn't work out because it was so overwhelming to me. I wasn't prepared for it at this time.
I'm still not prepared.
Now you think not?
You know what? I want my kids to come and be with me, but like, I think it's every parent need a break at times. Everybody need a break. Once in a while, if them little...
If that's the understanding you have with us, a baby this weekend, I have to... Yes, I'm a stay at the hotel this weekend and you take care
that
of
that might work, you know.
Yeah, but it might work. You work something out. It's all about working stuff out. What do you call that? Compromising, right? It's all about compromising.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I think the woman I will marry have to, like, physically fall from the sky from God. God got to drop this bitch down on my car.
Why do you feel you deserve that type of bitch?
Because I don't know. I'm the shit, motherfucker.
I hear you. That's a good reason they have that woman.
Man. I mean, I have a lot.
I like that.
Yeah, I have a lot to bring to the table. You know, I mean, I've worked hard my whole life, you know, and you got to bring more than pussy. You know, you have to bring something. So I've worked hard, and I have a lot to bring besides plus, don't forget the bladder infection, being an African.
You have a bladder infection?
I'm giving out bladder infections.
Why is that?
I have a big ass dick.
And that's because, ramrod.
Yeah, ramrod.
Ramrod. Oh, God. Ramrod is on the set with us. So who you want to fuck in your circle? Beverly Hills, Hollywood, whatever.
Ah, man. You know what? They're not like it was back in the day. It's not like...
Who
there was nobody.
Somebody, come on, say it, man. Be cool. You're a tough guy. You know, you're not afraid. Talk to who you want to fuck. Tell them you want to fuck them.
I want to try something different. I want to fuck like a 50-year woman now. I want to try that.
Why do you think 50 is going to be stimulating? Why would you think anything 50 would be good if you can have...
I've never tried it. I've been fucking these young women, you know, 25, 30.
And you tell me, you think you've been fucking young girls, 25, and you think you're going up a level in pleasure by going with a 50-year-old?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Okay, I hear you.
What's the oldest you ever fucked? I'm curious. The oldest woman you ever been with?
I don't know. I'm sure it's probably 50, right?
But how old were you?
Me?
How old were you when you fucked a 50-year-old? Do you remember?
I don't know. I must have been 20.
Damn.
No, I have to test it out, you know.
Yeah, you do.
Test this famous stuff out and see if this stuff is right. Like, I guess that's what you're going for. You're going to say, this shit real, this famous shit real. People feeling me? Is pussy is that easy to get? You know, you get your share of diseases yet?
Oh, of course, man. If you know, you ain't burnt yet, get your life together. Plus, I've been burnt a few times. I might be burning right now. I'm just kidding. I'm not. It's like when you get older, as you get older, more mature, you kind of like, you don't know how to avoid being burnt till you've been burnt. So once you get burnt, you learn your lesson and you know what to look for. I became my own fucking OBGYN, motherfucker.
How'd that work out?
It's been good. I mean, burning a couple of years. I'm good. Dick's not on fire.
Yeah, thank God.
I mean, you know, no fucking shots in the ass for 2 years. That's good.
So do you remember anything about Africa?
Oh, yeah. I go home every year.
Yeah.
I was just home. Last November, I hosted an African Music Award.
Proud everybody knows who you are over there.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely, man. I'm like the Eddie Murphy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's incredible.
You know, because the thing about any foreigner, man, to get recognized in the world, to feel like you have to be recognized in America first. America kind of like signifies everything.
Really?
Yeah. Everybody try to make it in America. I mean, even right now, the big, you know, a lot of our Afrobeats artists they're making noise in America because they know to be a star, America has to know who you are. So I'm like that first person that, like, you know, came to America and made it as a comic. So now they all look up to me, and I'm, you know, yeah. So they show me love.
All right. So what do you do about getting new material? How do you find new material?
Everyday life with a little bit of exaggeration. My stuff is a little bit slightly exaggerated. But I go with some life stories, you know. I remember when I first started, I talked a lot about just coming from Africa and just how the kids made fun of me. You know, because the crazy thing, you know, when I came to America, this is really weird, but I had no idea I was dark-skinned until I got here.
Really?
Yes. I had no idea because we never saw complexion back home. You know, things are different now.
Reflection is something big here, then it's not.
Oh, it's big here. Like, I mean, I know when I came to America in the late 80s, like, people comparing each other, like, who's light, who's dark. We never saw that. I didn't realize I was dark-skinned until I came here. You know, I was like, this guy was like, you black? I said, of course, we are black. He said, no, nigga, you black as shit.
Well, you know, in America, we were programmed to hate ourselves.
Yes. Yeah. They call me every dark name. This one guy told me I look like under the bed. That's dark as fuck, man.
That's okay, man.
One guy told me I look like I have no bright ideas. They told me the difference between me and midnight is 11:59. They said when God said, let there be light, I was out of town. They told me every time I wear a wife beater, I look like a skunk. They told me Stevie Wonder sees me every day. That's dark as fuck. Stevie don't see shit.
How do you know? I'm sure he sees things.
Oh, my God. I think he's blind, man.
Blind see things as well. Oh, they see spirits. They see what we can't see.
They say he sees me. They think he just see dark. So that's why they say he sees me.
Oh, no. Black is beautiful.
It's very beautiful. I mean, now I want to get darker.
That's probably not possible. As we head into the back half of the NFL season, it's always a bittersweet moment. It's hard to believe half the season's over.
But the good news is there's even better football on the horizon. The NFL playoff push, college football playoff arguments, and soon enough, bowl season.
So if you're looking to get excited, make BetDSI.com your betting partner.
That's right, Mike. And it couldn't be any easier because new members at BetDSI get 100% bonus match using promo code Tyson101.
Whoa, that's pretty awesome, man. You can use your sports knowledge to make some extra cash.
And who couldn't use a little extra cash? Make a little bread while watching TV. They have the fastest payouts in the industry. Simply play, win, and get paid.
Wow. New members get 100% bonus match using promo code Tyson101. That's double your money to start winning today.
Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code Tyson101 and get this limited time 100% bonus offer to get yourself paid.
It's only a game until you bet it. BetDSI.
When I came to America back in the, you know, late 80s, 90s, whatever, it wasn't about dark. It wasn't about Africa. People were not proud about their heritage. You know, everybody was El DeBarge era, Michael Jackson, bleach, light skin, this and that. People were not, they made fun of everything that was different back then. Now everybody's looking for identity. You know, now it's cool to be African now. And I think it started off with Barack Obama becoming president. That opened the door. And then the next biggest thing after that was the movie Wakanda. Now everybody was curious about Africa, you know. And I think now the music. So now I think God said it's time. It's the time now to be African. So it couldn't have been a better time.
Oh, no. You think God thinks about us?
Yeah, of course, man.
You think we exist to God?
Yeah, God. I think God just, everybody has their time to shine. Really? It's our time to shine.
So you think God would say, listen, for instance, I got 7 billion people on this planet. I think this guy right here is going to be a cool guy to shine.
Yes. Yeah? God's like, Mike Blackson, this is your time to be a star. I've been telling jokes for 24 years. Things has really been popping the last 5 years for me. You know, so God, I think God says it's your time now.
Yeah. So what did you think your purpose is then?
Oh, man. My purpose is to open the doors for other you know, people, let people know, especially people in my village, kids that like, that came from nothing, that you could become something. I came to America, we lived in shelter homes, was homeless. You know, I had the same stories. We all went through that.
Yeah, but this is interesting too. This is what, how do you get a guy from Africa and tell him you can do it too? How did it work? How did he get from Africa?
Well, because they watch a person like me, they know my story, and it's like, he could do it, you know, you could do it too. It, you know, and
how do you get here? How do you get on a plane and you get to America? How do you get money to get it on a plate?
Well, my mother was an evangelist. She traveled the world preaching the gospel, and some church members invited her down, and that's how she brought us. And then after we came, there was a civil war in Liberia where we were, and then once that civil war hit, we couldn't go back, and that's how we were able to get status to stay in America. you know, and it was rough. My mother had to get a job at McDonald's and make $50 a week. I mean, we lived off a fucking Big Mac for fucking few months, you know. So it was tough, but my story, I think, could open the doors for any other African kid. That's, you know, because I go home to Africa and I go to the little village where I was born and I see the same things. I'm like, God, that was me 30, 40 years ago, you know. And I'm like, you know, and one thing about the least I could do is give these kids a dream, because America is not where the dream is. You could become successful in anything and anywhere. You don't necessarily have to come to America to become successful. You know, so I just want to give kids hope that, you know, you could become something. Try to be, dream big. Don't think small. I mean, don't get it wrong. There always has to be a man to pick up the trash. It has to be a housekeeper. You know, right? Everybody cannot be the leaders. You know, but at least try to become that leader.
You know, I found out, I used to say stuff like that too. Come on, and then know what I realized. You only have to say it to people that believe in what you believe in, because everybody don't believe in what you believe in. Everybody don't want these big cameras, the big life, and these big house. I had to realize that too. So what I'm saying don't mean shit. You know what I mean? That's just me probably liking to hear myself talk and wanting to believe that I can help people, that I could be somebody or something. But in other people, why is he working so hard? Why is he putting too much pressure on himself? You know what I mean? Why can't he just take it easy?
That's, you know, we all don't have that drive. I sometimes really think some people are selected to become special. People are picked. Everybody's not going to be like us. You know, but you were special,
huh?
You were different.
How am I special? And the guy that doesn't excel and not special.
That's what you have accomplished. I think everybody is. I think God selects people, man. Presidents are selected. Leaders are selected, I think. You know, I think we all not going to become president. I think presidents are chosen, whether it's by God or something. You know, especially, how about those that come and they die at 20 years old, at 10 years old? Everybody has a purpose.
So why do you think they died at 20?
Maybe they were just here to serve a short little purpose, and their time is done. You know, I think God knows when we all going to go. I think we all been selected to do different things. We are for different reasons. That's how I feel. You know, I think God is going to use me eventually to bring kids, you know, to teach children. I think that's my main goal. Eventually, I want to go back home and open up like a rec center and do something for my country. Like, so I'm more interested in children. I hate to see kids. I go home and I watch them playing soccer with like grapefruit instead of a soccer ball. I'm like, no, I'm gonna come over. I'm gonna do something for the children. That's my plan to do in the next year or two, is go home and build some rec center, something I can help. I can't save a whole nation. I can't save the world. Spider-Man.
Maybe you could.
The fucking superhero is.
Maybe you could
save the whole world.
Yeah. Whatever you believe in your mind, if you believe you can do it or you believe you can't do it, you're right.
Henry Ford.
Yeah, I think so, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to save the whole fucking world, Mike.
You just have to be committed to do it. Some people think they want to send a serve to save the world, then they realize, no, this is not what I want to do. If you think you can save the world, just try to hug it right now. Try to hug it and see how successful you'll be. You know, the world's going to take care of itself. You know, you can't change the world unless you're prepared to change yourself. And if you're prepared to do this, we don't want to do that. We want to change the world, but we don't want to change ourselves. We're afraid to face ourselves. We don't want to do that, but we want to change the world. That's what human beings do. They want to be known for changing the world, but they
want to change themselves.
They don't want to change themselves.
So you think I just start changing myself, like try to settle down, find a woman, a wife first?
No. I didn't say none of that. I just said,
so keep fucking bitches. Just be me.
Yeah, that could be cool too, but really find out why you think you want to save the world. What do you want back for in return from saving the world?
I want nothing back.
Think about it.
I just want to save the children.
Save the children? Why?
I don't know, man. It's a part of my heart that has love for kids. I don't know. I just want to, because it's so innocent. It just, you know, kids are so wrongfully, but I just want to, I don't know, just something with me and kids. I just want to save the children. I want to see every kid in the whole world happy.
You got to take care of the kids. The world will take care of the kids.
Through people. He uses people to do things, you know? I might be one of those, man.
You could be.
Who's this giant you got over here? God, you big as hell. What you eat, people?
No, he lost a lot of weight. He's very small.
And he found it the next day.
He found it very small.
God, that's a big motherfucker.
He's a man of love.
Jeez.
That's right.
Hey, wait, when my bodyguard quits, man, I'm coming to...
Give me a call, motherfucker.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
He's going to love your enemies to death.
That's right. Well, Jeffrey Epstein probably wanted to take care of the kids, too.
Who's Jeffrey Epstein?
He's
an asshole.
Pedophile.
Oh, my alleged, God.
Alleged. I don't know anything about him. I just know people talk about people.
I think people that does wrong to kids, I don't know what should be done to them. I have no idea.
Something
but,
bad.
Huh?
Something bad.
Oh, something really bad. Like the Jeffrey, what's the guy's name? Sandusky. Jerry Sandusky.
Jerry Sandusky.
Oh, what a fucking loser.
Yeah, it's dark.
He's dark. His heart is darkening my fucking complexion. This guy is a fucking demon.
Yeah.
But God still gave him life. What was his purpose then?
Ah, gosh, man.
You know?
Well, you know, the devil has powers too. Don't we can't put everything on God. You know, Satan was an angel that God sent down. Like God fired him. Like, you know what? He still had power. So we can, you know, the devil has power too. He could work through people as well.
I don't know. I look different. God said, let there be light. So once he gave the order to let there be light, he's accountable for everything.
I don't know. I can't. I think he leaves some room for us to make some kind of decision. Think about
it. He's accountable.
Let's go back to the whole apple. The fucking apple. If Adam even didn't eat the apple, it'd be a whole different thing. He gave us choices at the same time. And sometimes we just make the wrong choices as well. You know, but Satan has power too. Satan, just as God has godly people, we have demonic motherfuckers out there.
I don't know who created Satan.
God. He was an angel.
God didn't know he was going to flip on him. God didn't know he was going to flip.
God gave him power and he fucking used it for
but
something.
God had to know he was going to flip before he gave him the power. He was going to use him as an example. Had to know he was going to flip.
I don't know. I try my best not to judge God. That's one person that I fear is God. I don't judge him. I don't question him.
Do you pray?
Every chance I get, I'll thank him. You know, I mean, I've been blessed, so I know it comes from above. I know it's not.
Why it has to be him? You don't think it's a woman? Why does God have to be a man?
Whatever he is, I mean.
But why would you think primarily he was a man?
I mean, I read the Bible, so the Bible said he was a man.
The Bible was written by men.
But the thing with religion to me is that you have to have personal experience. You cannot go saying Jesus this and God or Muhammad, Allah. You have to have personal, you have to feel this yourself. All you have to do is ask God to reveal himself to you. Like, I think the reason why I have my
so
belief
is
Christian.
So what are you saying? Is the Bible for real? Is the Bible the truth?
Regardless what the Bible, like, you know, years ago, my mother, like I said, my mother was an evangelist. She traveled the world preaching the gospel. As a kid, that's what I knew, that's what I followed, that's this and that. But at some point in life, you know, you have to, God has to reveal himself to you to let you know that he's real. That way you know, that way you're just not going by what people are saying. And I personally feel like he has revealed himself to me and I know he's real. So, and when he came to me, he didn't have on a bra or nothing. So that's why I figured he was a man. He didn't have.
How did he come to you? He came to you in your thought, didn't he?
Thoughts, dreams, it's like vision. So, yes, yeah, so I have my own personal relationship with God. Like, my mom churched me my whole life. So when I got old enough, I'm like, you know, I had enough church. I don't even go to church, you know, because I have a personal relationship with God. Whenever I want to talk to God, I get on my knees and I talk to him, you know. So, I think it has to be personal.
It has to be.
It has to be personal. All that church stuff, you know, don't disrespect for those who go to church, you know, worship.
It's fine.
You know, but me, have that personal relationship with God. Have it with him. Talk to him. You know, you don't need people around to do that.
I just think My opinion. Mm-hmm. I used to think church and the mosque or what else, the synagogue, what else, I think that gives you the first perspective of God, regardless of where you take him from there. Mm-hmm. That's going to give you the first perspective.
Correct.
And that's going to be the most opening experience of your life.
Correct.
You know what I mean? And then eventually you think of it, you put your perspective in and what you feel from your experience and what you're learning. And then you may take God to the universe, you know?
Have you ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey?
Many years ago.
Is it a movie? What is that?
It's a movie. Stanley Kubrick.
The porn? What is it?
It's a very famous science fiction.
No, it's not porn, but it's pretty interesting.
So in that, it shows the first scenes. It shows very early man, even monkeys barely walking on two legs. And it shows different tribes fighting over water holes, killing each other over resources. And then one day, this fucking obelisk appears. And it's just a giant fucking monument that appeared out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you watch this movie and it's fucking crazy. It's way out there. You start there, you end up, you're going out into space with these fucking guys. And this robot is killing everybody. And then one guy goes on his own personal journey into maybe a black hole where he sees his birth and death. But the obelisk, to me, represents every man's experience of God. Because at some point in our lives, we have this epiphany that there's something greater than ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever that is, I don't know, maybe it's a life and death experience. Maybe, you know, for some people it's seeing their first child born. For some it's ODing. For some it's getting their ass kicked, you know, being in a horrible accident. But we all have this experience in our lives that is our own personal proof that there's something higher than us. You know?
Right.
And I think it's innate. It's innate in man. You know, we talk about it all the time. I think it's so interesting. You know, Mike and I have been doing this podcast for a little while now, almost a year.
Yes.
Almost a year. And it's really evolved into talk about God, talk about death, talk about spirituality. And, you know, the more we sort of unravel and unfold in it, it becomes more and more clear to me that spirituality, your sense of a higher power, is an innate aspect of being human. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think your life is very sustainable thinking that you're the top dog. Because if you're the number one guy, that's a mountain of a burden to hold. You know, if you're the guy that's supposed to be in charge.
Why do we believe that we want that?
Because we want to be godlike.
Yeah.
Until we realize everything that comes with that.
Just be the greatest person you could be.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah,
you
just know? Be the best person you
can. And I think having a higher power, this idea of striving to be godly, this purification process that we're all in, is about, you know, it leads you on that path, you know, of striving for personal excellence. Whatever that might be for you, you know? And like you said, man, I totally agree. Everyone has a purpose, and there's a purpose for, you know, your local high school janitor. And there's a purpose for the trash man. Like, man, if we didn't have those people, we'd be fucked. We'd be drowning in shit.
Yep. And the thing about it is that you could become successful in anything. You could be a trash man and make $100,000, $200,000 a year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's, you know, and that's why whatever you do, just try to be the best of that, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, dude, I really respect that, your personal feelings on, you know, relationships and not feeling like you want to be married.
Yeah.
For me, it's the best way.
Well, it's, of course. I mean, and me as a man of God, that's the way I should be going as well.
Well, you know, you have to ride the wave, man.
I was different in a way. Like, I had to be married because I didn't know how to live my life.
Yeah.
I don't know how to fucking live. What the fuck am I going to do by myself? Really, can you imagine me by myself? I'm in Backpage calling prostitutes all night.
Because you can't be alone.
You're probably the reason why they closed it.
Alone.
He's probably the reason why they shut down Backpage.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, they knew Backpage is Instagram.
I can't believe. Well, I really couldn't be alone. Yeah. I mean, I got this big ego, but I'm afraid to be alone. Isn't that crazy? I can't be alone, but I'm a bad fly motherfucker. I should just love talking about myself, but I can't be alone at that prostitutes or somebody, anybody to talk to me.
Somebody.
That's why I feel like my woman got to be.
What do your woman got to be?
Mike, you got to open your mind to it, man.
No. Trust me, I have.
Here, let me say one thing that I noticed. Mm-hmm. And I was staying quiet just as an experiment earlier. Usually I ask questions and I'm more involved, but off the jump. But I just, for fun.
Okay.
You know, you say, and you know, it's probably funny and it's a guy thing to call women bitches.
Right.
You know, and say, yeah, I fuck a lot of bitches. Well, you know, bitches, if you keep calling out for bitches, you're going to get.
Yeah, true.
You know, no woman is going to come into your life, you know?
Just bitches.
Just fucking bitches. You know, and that's. That's fine if that's what you want.
And some bitches are real cool.
Yeah, right? Some cool bitches.
You know, and I'll tell you the other thing is that as men.
We got the real weed.
We got the blunts.
The blizzard. Now we're going to smoke and talk to the African.
Zach Hickman.
Fucking African.
Zach Hickman with the blunt.
Purify excellence. The blunt. We're selling the
blunt. That's an official blunt?
Yes, perfectly rolled. Zach Hickman. Smoke, nigga.
But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. There we go.
What's after this? Cocaine, motherfuckers?
No, we don't do that shit, bro.
We don't do that shit no more.
We're striving to be the best us we can be.
Yeah, take him on the hit, nigga. That's a bitch ass hit you took. You ain't even inhaling. You just letting it come out your mouth, man.
Yeah, come fuck you, motherfucker. Yeah,
fuck you.
Come on, nigga. Don't be that way. Man, you smoking like you smoking a peace pipe or something.
The fuck is a peace pipe?
It's a Native American. How Native Americans be looking out for people.
If I die on set, motherfucker, I'm suing.
You'll be okay. You'll be okay.
Fucking crackhead.
The weed's infused with love.
Isn't it beautiful being on the set? Sometimes you say, fuck, I'm on a set right now. People gonna see me do this fucking movie. I'm gonna get more pussy, more money.
I fuck in my green room. Right backstage.
Okay, I've done that many times too, but that's gonna get old too. Right, all this is gonna get old, and it's gonna be like, what am I gonna do in my life? It's time for me to raise these fucking kids. I got what school these kids are gonna go in. You know what I mean? What teachers do I want these kids to be affiliated with? It comes. That's when life hits you. We're not talking about fucking no more. Yes. We're talking about a little bit less. You know what I mean? All that gets put on the fucking the back burner. Believe it. I never thought I'd stop thinking about fucking bitches and fucking a whole bunch of bitches when I was 21 or 22. Nobody. I would have bet all my life savings that I at 50 years old I'll still be talking about fucking bitches. I would have bet everything on it. I would have lost everything. But I would have bet everything that I wouldn't have stopped fucking bitches at 52, 53, whatever I am, you know?
Well, it's done. You married that, right?
Yep. Yeah, but I didn't give a fuck. I was too selfish. I didn't give a fuck about no bitch feeling. I didn't care about my daughter's feeling. I didn't care about nobody's feeling. I want my shit. What I want. Fuck them. I had to be humble. They ain't going to stop. No, man, fuck that shit.
And you know, man. You talk about it a certain way. As men, we objectify women. There are things to be possessed, things to be devoured, you know, and you perpetuate that mindset, and it starts to fuck with you, really.
And deep down inside, we might find out something might hit that they might be better than us, and we can't have that.
And it becomes more and more difficult
we can't have that.
To bring a woman as a human being into your life. That's all I'll say about it. It's the last thing
I'll say.
Appreciate it, man. But you know what? I don't even fucking care what you do.
Mm.
Have a ball. As long as you're having fun, and like Mike said, you're being honest.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man.
You know?
Yeah, I'm having fun. I don't...
Whatever you want this ride to be, man.
And whenever a woman started, like, falling in love, I let her go. Because, you know, I'm not about to be your boyfriend.
Well, that's honesty.
Yeah. Don't fall in love, motherfucker.
Why not?
Instead of trying to fall in love, I'll do something crazy, big for all of love. Like, dude, really? Come and visit me and see another chick at the house. Like, oh my God, I can't fall in love with this guy.
You know how miserable you're going to be if you never fell in love?
How what? Miserable? Yeah, that's true.
That's, you're not a man until you fall in love.
Yeah, that's true. Trust me, I know.
You no way. You know, you think you're a player, you're not a man until you fall in love. That sucks, huh? That's real talk.
That sucks. That would suck.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, right now it's going to take a really special woman to make me fall in love.
Hey, man, call out. Call like out special. To her right now.
She has to be a badass, just the baddest chick on earth.
You ready for
baddest
this?
Baddest body. What?
I want you to repeat after me.
Yes.
I. Michael Blackson.
Michael Blackson.
Am open.
I'm open.
And ready.
I'm ready.
To receive.
To receive.
The woman.
The woman.
Of.
Of.
My.
My.
Dreams.
Dreams.
Boom!
Do you know who that is?
No.
Feel it. Feel it.
In your dreams, you have to know who she is.
No, no, I have a vision of her. Just like, I have vision of everything.
That's it. You just put it out there into the universe, bro.
I have a vision. She's probably like in another country somewhere.
Mike, you do affirmations?
Yeah, I do that.
Every morning?
Yeah. It's important. Gratitude affirmations.
Yeah. What do you say?
I thank God for my amazing life, my hands, my legs, my heart, my experience with love, my ability to think, my ability to reason, my ability to have empathy, my ability to be humble at periods in my life that I believe that I'm humble.
That's powerful,
it's
bro.
It's a lot of stuff.
Every chance I get, like especially when I go on the road and I fly and I land, since I get home, I get on my knees, thank God for that safe flight. I give thanks to God every chance I get.
When you were a kid, what did you want to do?
Well, kid isn't like high school kid or like
I'm saying the first time you were conscious of, I want to be this.
Something. Gosh. You know what? I was always, as a kid in Africa, I we're always fascinated by airplanes. Yes, because we always see like, oh my God, look at the plane. I wonder what they're doing inside. Mm. Oh my God, they're eating inside that plane. It looks like fun. I always fascinated by plane. So I wanted anything to do with an airplane. I would be a fucking flight attendant. I don't care. I just want to be in that fucking sky. And like it was a party going
on.
I want to be on a fucking plane. As a kid. But then when I came to America and I was going to school, you know, I wanted to be an accountant at one time. Then I wanted to be a doctor. But then I'm like, doctor, you have to go to college for like 20 years. I don't have that kind of time. I need to make money and take your family right away. You know, and then God said, I have something else for you. You're going to become an entertainer.
How did that happen? What did God do? What did God put in front of
you? Yeah, what made you believe you were funny?
You know what? So, like I said, I came to America. Kids make fun of me every day.
What brought you to America?
My mother. My mother brought me here. She was an evangelist. She traveled the world. And when I came, the kids clowned me. I was a very shy kid. Very shy. They made fun of me every day. You know, I barely knew how to defend myself. You know, these American kids are harsh, vicious, man. You know, you American kid. You was vicious, one. Yeah. He's probably one of those bully motherfuckers.
Assholes,
they don't care about your
assholes. God, no
heart. The more they can hurt you, the more they laugh at you.
Oh my God, it was just mean.
I used
mean.
To be made fun of because I was fucking chubby.
Bigger than everybody.
I was bigger than everybody. Yeah. I had this fucking tooth, a baby tooth that never came in. So it was like I had one big adult tooth and then one little tooth. I barely smiled until I was probably 18.
Man, it was tough. I went through hell.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, fucking voice, made fun of my voice. Now it's like, fuck all y'all. Yeah, I got this voice, bitches. You know what I'm saying? It's our superpowers, bro. You know?
Exactly. I used everything that said against me to eventually make me who I am today. Now, how did it start? You know, fashion. I look very, very normal right now. Usually, I dress real crazy.
You look fly
all the time.
As fuck.
I look like
those
a bum.
Gucci
to me,
pants or those Gucci pants? What kind of?
Not Gucci pants. I can't wear Gucci right now. Gucci's been boycotted by blacks.
Really?
So
really?
I'm still boycotting.
They still
Gucci.
Boycotting that.
What's
still
going? Boy. When did that start?
I think they made.
You
didn't
know about the whole blackface thing?
They made a blackface.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
So yeah, I don't do Gucci. I do a lot of Versace and Roberto Cavalli and. Dolce Gabbana. But like today I left the barbershop, I had to come straight here. But I'm into fashion so much now because as a kid, back in Africa when I was a kid, right? You know, kids only cared about a guy with brand new clothes. When you have new clothes on.
Yeah, in America too, same shit.
All right, same shit. Yeah, that's how it was. Brand new. But America not only has to be brand new, it has to be a name brand. Name which brand. I didn't know that.
Yeah, name
so I came brand. To America, my first day of school, my mother takes me shopping to Macquarie's. Remember like Macquarie's and Woolworth?
Macquarie, very well, yeah.
Woolworth, all the stores, right?
Where do you go to New York?
No, this was in Newark, New Jersey.
Jersey,
though. Right, yeah. Same shit. Macquarie, Woolworth.
Yeah.
She took me there, even Pathmark, grocery store, has sneakers back then. Mm. My mother bought my first pair of sneakers next to some chicken. She bought wings and chicken and bought my fucking sneakers. My sneakers was called In Action. That was the name of it. Cost her $6.99.
Wow.
Bought me a shirt, a dress shirt at McCrory's.
We call those rejects. Back there, rejects.
They is that what it was called?
Rejects. They call Bubbles. $1.99 rejects.
Bubbles.
They make your feet feel fine.
Bubbles. They were bubbles.
Yeah, same shit.
Okay. But you know what? So here I am, my first day of school. I got on my brand new sneakers In Actions, cost $6.99. My shirt cost about $5. Pants $6.99. I'm wearing a whopping $28 full outfit.
Beautiful.
But I went to school with new clothes. I didn't care. I'm like, I'm about to get bitches. I have new clothes. So I get to school and the kids like looking at me like, every, you know, first day of school, kids got the Pumas on, their Nikes, Adidas. I got on my In Actions. And the kids like, damn, what the fuck you wearing? I said, what you mean what I'm wearing? This is brand new. Nobody ever wore this. This is new. They said, yeah, but it's not Nike. It's not Adidas. I said, motherfucker, it's brand new. Man, I got roasted so bad. So now I know. America, not only you have to have new clothes, but it has to be name brand. So I'm out during the summer, the following year, I got a job selling candies door to door. This one guy used to take a bunch of black kids to the rich neighborhoods, and we just lied to them white folks. Like, hey, I'm here with the United Youth Corps, staying out of trouble, buy this candy. Lying like a motherfucker. I was not here for this. I'm here to make this fucking money. Right. He bought these candies for like $50 a box.
Yeah.
Have us sell it for $3.75.
A bar.
$3.75, and we make 75 cents out of every. This guy was a pimp. This nigga was pimping us.
He gave you a job.
He gave me a job. He did give me a job. I was making about $75 a week, and I had to like, I'll give half the money to my mom because this is what all Africans, we have to do. We have to like give half our money to our mother to help pay rent and bills. So I'm saving the other half during the whole school year. I finally saved up, I don't know, $800. I went school shopping, got me some Adidas, Wrangler jeans, Lee jeans. Go to school, all of a sudden now, they respect me because I have a name brand. Yeah. America is so materialistic.
Yeah.
They respect me now, they show me love. I'm right, it's 15 years old. I remember this, getting my first kiss. I remember this girl, Tasha something. She's like fat and ugly now. But I remember that was my first American kiss. You know, because I had on Adidas and I'm wearing name brand. So, but by the time I came to Philly, I knew exactly what it took now. So when I came to Philly, I went through all the abuse already in Newark, New Jersey. I came to Philly as a new person. I'm dressing fly as hell. And in Philly, I was delivering pizzas at Domino's. That was my job. I delivered pizzas. I was making about $30, $40 a night in tips. And I worked every day, money through whatever. You know, and I go to school fly as hell, chains on. Everybody thought I was selling dope. They had no idea I was selling pepperoni, anchovies, and fucking sausage and ground beef. They thought I was selling, because back then, anybody that was dark-skinned with an accent, you was Jamaican and you was a drug dealer. They thought I was a drug dealer in high school. They had no idea I was fucking dealing thick crust and thin crust.
Now who was that was the shower posse back then, remember? Those guys?
Yep.
They came to New York and all those cities.
Yep. So when I started dressing fly.
Policy. Jamaican guy.
Yeah, Jamaicans. Oh. When I started dressing fly, that's when I started clowning other people. Like, what the fuck you wearing? What are this and that? And that's how the comedy started. Mm. And then when I was, during the time I was still working at Domino's, one of my coworkers was, he was an acting teacher at the Community College of Philadelphia. He said, Mike, you funny. He said, let me help you write 5 minutes, go on stage, go to open mic. And that's how I started.
What was tougher, Jersey or Philly?
Oh, Jersey was tough. Philly, yeah. By the time I got to Philly, it was much
really?
Better.
Really?
Yeah.
Newark, Jersey.
Like, yeah, Newark is like.
It's a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Just coming into the airport.
Baghdad, it makes Jersey look good.
Fucking zoo.
I mean, Jersey make Baghdad look good. That's what the fuck I mean. You know what the fuck I mean.
You know, Justin,
this fucking weed is fucking me up, man. You don't give me drugs, motherfuckers.
That's got, laced with LSD, brother.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Can this clean it?
See you later.
Can this clear it,
yes,
please?
Yes, it actually will. It actually will. You're fine. It's all good.
You okay, bro?
It's all good, bro.
So what movie are you trying to get in out of this?
Wait, so did you guys, were you guys on Meet the Blacks together?
Yeah, but he was
yes.
Yeah, different scene, though.
Yeah, different scene.
Oh, so you
your
really
scene was hilarious,
out.
Man.
Yeah, dude. Mike
we just did part two. It comes out like February.
That's dope.
It's got Cat Williams and, you know, it's just dope. I have a cameo in Commit to America 2.
Dude, yeah, is that?
I
want to
go to that. This is done
I'm
already?
Flying to Atlanta on Monday.
It's done. When
is
it
coming out?
Next year. August.
They're still shooting? Are they still shooting?
They didn't start yet.
Oh, I want to be in that fucking movie.
Call fuck
Eddie.
Yeah.
I just saw Eddie at the fucking when I got on.
Call Eddie.
Yeah. Call Eddie.
Dennis!
He's supposed to be down here. He's supposed to want to do this show with us.
Yeah. We got to get him on.
Call Eddie.
Dude, come to America you, too, bro? You got to be on that, Mike.
Anything.
Oh, because I think... And you'd be great in that. Then you go back to that barbershop scene. You'd be a great scene for you to be in.
Oh, I agree with you, bro.
He's so good.
That's dope. They're going to make it happen. It's called Eddie.
We'll make it happen. Some of it, we'll put it out there.
Yeah. So that's that. I'm working on potentially a reality show, like my version of Flavor of Love. But the only difference is I'm going to take the women that I pick to my village in Africa and let the villagers decide who's best for me because I'm not good at picking out my fucking women.
Really?
Yeah. You like that idea?
Yeah. But those, what they're going to have to do, so all those girls are going to be back in Africa, right?
Yes.
And so what happens? The other guys in Africa, they need the tribe guys try to hit on the girls to see if they're
no, they just, it's just mostly like,
you?
No, nobody allowed it. No, they're just pretty much going to be
man, that's
take them
not
to the
fun.
Task.
Nah, that's what I mean. They got to see if they're loyal to you. They got to try to hit
that
on them.
That is true. That'd be a good idea to see if they're loyal.
Offer them a couple of cows, a sheep, head the sheep, or you leave this motherfucker Michael for like 40 sheep or some shit.
That'd be an excellent addition.
Oh, fucking water buffalo.
You'll make an appearance on my show?
Fuck yeah. Riding a water buffalo. No, but listen, right? Know what fucked me up, though? Because when I was watching Africa, I was watching some parts of Africa, and these motherfuckers tamed hyenas. I would love to have a tamed hyena. That would be off the hook. And the hyena's so strong, he carries them on the back like a horse.
That's fucking nuts. Yeah, hyenas are badass.
Yeah, and you know,
have a hyena.
You have the pet, you know, in the wild, they don't look that buff, but if you feed them everything like a dog, they are massive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're monsters.
Hyenas are amazing. I saw a video of a pack of hyenas bringing down a gazelle or something.
Eating it alive.
Right? It fucking grabbed it by the belly, ripped its guts open while it was still running.
Alive, eating, right?
Motherfucker. You want to talk about a beast?
They don't play.
They don't fuck around.
All they know how to do is eat. It's just a frenzy.
Do you think more crazy than a tiger?
Excuse me?
More crazy, more intense animal than a tiger?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they eat you alive. Animals, a tiger's going to kill you in like 3 minutes.
He's going to kill you and then eat you. A tiger would kill you
like 3 seconds.
And then eat you. Yeah.
3 seconds?
Separate your neck, spine of your neck, snap it right in half. Boom.
Damn. Yeah.
Mike had fucking tigers, too.
I don't fuck with. I'm scared of the zoo, man. I'm scared they're gonna snatch me up.
Well,
don't stand a chance.
I mean, I didn't like where people think you're from Africa. There's animals walking around. My neighbor was not a fucking elephant, motherfucker.
Yeah.
We don't have animals walking down the street to grocery store. Nah, you got to like the safari. You have to go like East Africa and see shit like that. Like
you're from Ghana, right? I remember Jerry Rawlins, right?
Huh?
That Jerry Rawlins,
JJ Rawlins.
I remember him. He used to be president. I remember when he was president. He was a player, traveling with all his people and stuff.
Yeah, JJ Rawlins is good. Even one of my good friends is president of Liberia now. George Weah. He used to be a soccer player. And he's now president of Liberia. So shout out to him. But yeah, man, it's a whole new
Africa's on the rise though.
Oh, they definitely are. They're on the
especially
rise.
China's investing so much money in Africa. Mm-hmm.
So much fucking money. It's just a new fucking world over there.
Have you been there? Have you been to Africa?
No, I really want to go.
You went, right? Have you went?
I've been to South Africa before. I've been to Algeria before.
Okay, you went.
It's on my list.
You didn't get to West Africa? No Nigeria? No Ghana?
No Nigeria, no Ghana.
What?
No.
What are the best places to go? So if I'm taking, I want to go see Africa.
Mm-hmm. You got to go to Ghana, see the slave huts.
Yeah, the slaves.
Castles.
Slave castle. Go to Ghana. You know, go pick a country in each part. Okay.
Okay.
If you want to go to West Africa, go to Ghana.
Okay.
Go to East Africa, you do Kenya or Ethiopia.
Okay.
Either or. I was in Ethiopia.
Okay.
A lot of history.
Yeah.
Kenya also is pretty decent. And if you want to go north, you know, you want to probably hit Egypt.
I just came from Egypt.
The pyramids.
And then,
awesome too, but then there's some shit at the walls of Zimbabwe. You see, ooh, it's been there for there so long. They think aliens built it.
Really?
Yeah, they can't even date probably how old
did.
It is.
Probably did.
Africa's so old, they can't even date it. They said it was 5,000 years old, so they found a country under Turkey that's 9,000 years old. Older than that, you know, we don't know how old this world is. How can man?
Do you know about
God?
Do you know about the Dogon tribe?
You're
in West Africa. I'm not. Let me look them up.
Yeah, look it up. How do you spell?
Dogon. Dogon tribe. Well, these people, every year, they have a cannabis festival. And they celebrate when aliens from the Sirius stars brought the cannabis plant down to their tribe and said, this will bring you peace. And they have cave paintings of it and all that shit.
I believe somebody had to bring this shit down. Why am I liking this shit the way I like this shit?
And like you said, man, like people, you can smoke a joint with a bunch of guys and they'll be hugging each other by the end of the session. You know, guys who are in a disagreement, it brings peace. It takes the edge
weed?
Off. Yeah. Yeah,
especially if they don't come with no bad intention.
Yeah.
They came to, you know, see what's going to happen.
Even if they did come with bad intentions, if they came and said, I don't like this guy, and then you start smoking a joint together, passing it back and forth, that would ease the tension, would relieve it, bring peace.
How old are you, Michael?
44. I'll be 45.
Yeah.
November. You look great, man. You look super young, like 26.
Thank you very much, man.
Yeah.
Black don't crack, especially
fuck
real
no.
black.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Broke black?
Real black, extra black. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I didn't smoke much. But I mean, smoking keeps you young, right? I mean,
definitely.
How long you been smoking?
All my life, really.
For real? Okay, yeah, you look good. What are you, 90 years old? How old are you?
I'm 50.
Okay. 102. Well, what do you got going right now, man? So you're getting ready for Coming to America,
too. Coming to America. Shout out to Eddie Murphy.
Dope. Shout out to
Akon.
Eddie.
Shout out to TMZ. All those guys got involved.
Eddie Murphy.
Akon's involved?
Well, no, this how I started was this. So Akon did an interview with TMZ. And Akon said, hey, you know, we should try to get at least a couple of real Africans and coming to America.
Definitely.
So what happened was TMZ caught up with Eddie Murphy. And he said, hey, Akon said you should get a couple of real Africans and coming to America.
Oh, wow.
And Eddie said, well, I know one funny African, Michael Blackson.
Boom.
So, then he said, hey, find a way to get – Eddie probably said, find a place for this guy in this movie. I don't care if it was one scene, two scenes, get him in this movie. And that's what happened.
That's dope as hell.
Shout out to everybody that got him to help campaign to get me on the movie. There's Akon, of course, Eddie Murphy, and TMZ. Shout out
hell
to those
yeah.
three.
Shout out.
Dude. Shout out.
Shout
dude.
Out.
Shout
the,
out.
And can't forget the almighty God that makes it all possible for me.
Oh, God, please, Lord, Jesus, help me.
Fuck, man. Do you have any questions for Mike?
Oh, man,
fuck
shit.
You had to say, man.
Or me.
You know what,
me.
Mike? There was a... I go to Vegas quite often. There was a guy out there that was saying he was your brother. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, this nigga, man.
From
who is that, yeah,
Mike? Yeah.
He looked just
this
like you too.
He had the tattoo.
Tattoos.
This motherfucker, right?
Oh. You have no relationship with that. No relation with
no,
that guy.
Fuck no.
This bitch motherfucker. I'm when I first met him. He was so convincing because he looked almost like you.
I know his name is Clifford.
Is that his name? Yeah, he's from like Louisiana
Clifford.
Somewhere.
Clifford, yeah.
So one time I went to Dreyer's And you know, he came follow me. So I was with they said, who's that? I said, well, that's Tyson's brother, right? And it was somebody that knew, he said, Tyson ain't got no fucking brother.
Nah, my brother's a brain surgeon.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, since after that happened, I was like, motherfucker, who the fuck are you?
My brother fucking.
Yeah, he's using
your. Nobody used to know that he used your brother.
That guy, he used your likeness to like get props in Vegas.
I mean, he was getting. Name? Your real brother?
Oh, I don't even want to say, he might be mad and shit.
So you have one brother?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's not that motherfucker.
He's a brain surgeon.
No way.
That's so.
Yeah,
funny.
That fucking idiot.
This man. Fucking guy.
You heard about him too?
No.
Yes.
I'm gonna find a picture of this guy.
Tyson look alike.
Oh, it's him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, look it up. It's fucking.
Fucking.
I'm gonna follow it up.
Clifford, what's his last name? This motherfucker, exactly.
Oh, look up Michael Blackson, Eddie Murphy. Look that up.
Gary Owens going at it, huh?
Yeah, we went. I'll beef a lot of Eddie Murphy. You could see that whole thing that I was talking about.
Michael Blizzak.
That was a whole TMZ made a whole story on it.
Eddie Murphy is open to Michael Blackson being cast and coming to America.
He didn't say yes. No.
Exactly. He didn't say yes.
This motherfucker. But you're in it.
Man, he made it happen.
He made it happen.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, bro.
It's one great scene, but I'm gonna stretch that scene out. They're gonna be like, cut. I'm like, no, the fuck, I'm not. Man, keep filming, motherfuckers. I'm not done yet.
It's dope, dude. All right, y'all. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Hotboxing with Mike Tyson. Check out our badass merch on hotboxingpodcast.com.
Great merch.
Until next time, I'm Evan Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson, and
I'm Michael Blackson. You wanna fuck us?
Boom!